Conscious Business, evolving the world of enterprise. This week, we converse with Waylon Lewis, founder-editor of Elephant Magazine, along with Dave Rogers and Abby Smith. Together, we explore Elephant's vision for healthy and sustainable living, the ethical challenges of the magazine industry, and how independent publications can build strong local communities. Join the dialogue on ReframeAmerica.com. And now prepare to be transformed. Welcome to the Conscious Business Show with myself, Theo Haresh, and co-host Duff McDuffie.
Here I am, ready to kick off another show. Today we have some people from Elephant Magazine. Waylon Lewis, publisher of Elephant Magazine, is here with us today. Welcome, Waylon.
Waylon McWaylon.
Waylon.
Duff McDuffie.
McMahon.
I feel like there is an elephant in the room today.
Yes. Let's talk about it.
And you also have two guests of your own that you brought along, Waylon. Maybe you want to introduce them real quick.
I'd love to. Thank you. My first guest is my senior colleague. We often call her Mrs. Elephant, professionally speaking, Abby L. Smith.
Hey, Abby. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome, Abby.
Thank you.
My second guest is, I'm kind of his advisor. No, he's sort of my advisor. He's been a good friend, the kind of good friend who disagrees with you 80% of the time and out-argues you 100% of the time, which means that he's a very good arguer. So we had him on, Dave Rogers, former publisher of The Onion, now up to all kinds of technology innovation, which he deserves a whole show to himself. Dave Rogers.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Glad to be here.
So Waylon, let's kick it off by asking, what does Elephant do?
What does Elephant do for you?
For me, for everyone else?
I mean, well, Elephant is one of a handful, percentage-wise, of independent magazines, which is something I'd love to talk about. It's kind of a dying breed, not to make an unfunny pun. Yeah, we're an independent, locally distributed magazine that is now getting kind of too big for its britches, and we're starting to go into other distribution models. We're trying to distribute nationally. We feel like we're far better than almost any magazine on earth. New Yorker will never be half as good as the New Yorker. Dwell Magazine is incredible, but in the spiritual eco land of magazines, this isn't gonna be for public consumption, right? We're far better than any other yoga, any other yoga or eco magazine that you can think of.
Well, yeah. I certainly agree with you on that one. No. So the thing that's most interesting to me about Elephant is you have such a wide array of transformational activities represented through it. I mean, you have the spiritual, you have the political, you have the business side of things, you have social. In some ways, it presents a holistic vision of what the world could be or the possibilities of what the world could be. And I love that. I'm curious, what is your mission?
Well, it's interesting. I actually got into this sort of accidentally. I studied magazine journalism. I wanted to be a freelancer, much like Abby, and kind of travel the world and have a good time. And this fellow, Travis Robinson, sort of right when yoga was taking off in the late 90s, much thanks to Yoga Journal and their publisher, John Abbott, he took it from 30,000 to 300,000 distribution in one issue. And a couple years later, yoga was on the cover of Time. And, you know, yoga studios are doubling in number every year. Wow. So Travis, his wife, Allison, was a yoga teacher at the Richard Freeman's Yoga Workshop. Travis wanted to create a yoga kind of newsletter magazine. He called it Yoga in Colorado or Yoga in the Rockies.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Old
you know
days.
Travis well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he brought me in as editor, and I was not interested in being an employee. I'd just come out of working for an organization called Shambhala, which some of you may have heard of. So I was pretty sick of making mediocre money for something I deeply believed in, working far too much. And I really wanted to start something of my own that was, you know, that I could build a family on eventually. And, you know, so I came in, worked with him, and as editor from the very beginning, I was 0% interested in having a magazine, to finally get to your question, about yoga. Even yoga practitioners are probably about 10% interested in reading a magazine about yoga. Yoga is not about yoga. Elephant is not about elephant. Yoga is about living a healthy, enjoyable life that has some authentic meaning, so that when someone asks, how are you? And you say, I'm fine, or I'm good, or I'm bad, you actually mean what you say, and you're genuine, and you enjoy your life. doing yoga leads to obviously basic things like not fighting your body all day long in terms of posture, eating better, all those things. So naturally I grew up in a Buddhist family, so I wanted to bring in some spirituality that wasn't new agey. And I'm probably more passionate about environmentalism than anything except for women. Just so to be honest,
What are some of the environmental choices Elephant Magazine has taken?
He's steering away from that one. it's really hard to, all those stupid Ford ads in New Yorker and whatever saying it's easy being green. It's, their MPG is lower than, the Model T was a century ago as a company. It's very hard being green. We're an independent magazine. And when we were broke 4 years ago, we went and printed on New Leaf paper, not because we're holier than thou, not because we wanted to impress our eco friends at our eco parties and get eco chicks, but because we're actually, our slogan is the mindful life. So we're out here to do as little harm and be as mindful in every action we make as possible. And of course the upside is to be of as much benefit. And that's why we're now trying to go national.
What's a New Leaf paper?
New Leaf paper, I'm sorry, is
a very expensive paper.
Yeah, it's an expensive paper. It's a leading environmental paper company that, despite my being very close friends with the CEO, gives me, are you allowed to swear on this program? Not very good discounts. And so we're looking at a different company actually right now. But they do fantastic work. They don't bleach the paper. They're really a distributor on some level. They're not a mill. They work with many mills. They encourage those mills to adopt environmental practices. Ironically, right now we're printing on a wonderful eco paper that's like shipped from China or somewhere. Horrible. So, constantly we're switching papers every other issue, trying to find one where we can go to sleep at night.
Great. It's always good to be able to sleep at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So another question related to that. I've heard that Elephant made a choice recently not to sell to a national distributor because of why? Why is that?
Well, yeah, there's a little confusion there. So we very much, and this is something Dave and I could get into, don't want to sell out as a company to a company that owns various magazines. Most magazines, most media in general, independent media has declined by about 50% in the last 50 years alone, thanks to, what are they called? Republican, politicians. But loosening the rules on, can you own, two or three TV stations? Can you own a couple papers in the same market? Evil, evil, evil. Independent media equals a real living democracy and active citizens. So that's something we're pretty passionate about. But in terms of distribution, most magazines, amazingly, people don't know this, print on paper that is not sourced in an environmentally friendly manner. It's not coming from a tree farm that's managed. It's virgin paper. And then it's shipped halfway across the world to be milled. It's milled and then shipped to their printer, which is wherever the hell it is. And then it's printed. And then it's reshipped, finally, what is that, three shippings, to a bookstore or whatever, where only 20 to 40% of those magazines are ever sold, because the basic business approach of these distributors who make money on however many magazines are sold, so they never want an empty gap there. They just throw, say, 50 Time magazines out there and hope that five or six sell. And then all the others go into the recycle bin. So that's not only a bad environmental practice. That's a bad, that's bad for your advertisers. So we're trying, as a free magazine, we've been free for 5 years because we're a little ghetto unfunded magazine that's gotten bigger and bigger slowly because readers have some sense that whether they agree or disagree with anything we say, we actually mean it because daddy, big daddy behind us isn't telling us what to say because there is no big daddy.
So basically you're holding high to your ethics so that you can actually have a clear voice in holding to your values.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I couldn't say that myself. I'm holding high to my ethics and I'm really a very wonderful ethical person. High five.
Tell them about One Source.
Yeah. So we really to pat ourselves on the back, but rather the point more would be to encourage other publishers and businesses in whatever their own challenges are to do the same thing. we actually, for 2 or 3 years, Abby and I and the rest of our staff were trying to go national, talking about how we were going national. We're going national. Every issue, people would come up to us and say, congratulations, we heard you're national. And it wouldn't work because we were trying to go from a local free model where literally 80 or 90, 90% of your magazines are getting picked up. They're actually getting, well, we don't know about read, but they're getting picked up by readers. And then there's a pass along rate, usually of 2.5 for magazines. So, you know, really almost every magazine was getting read by 2.5 people. That's wonderful environmentally for any kind of product. Again, compared to 20 to 40% nationally, the hottest magazine in America with the least dressed, you know, it girl of the month sells 40%. That's like Vanity Fair. If they have a hot cover, sells 40%.
Wow.
It's incompetent.
Wow.
So we tried for a couple of years, different models, trying to figure out, you know, could we be distributed through various chains that we actually believe in, you know, or that we at least don't dislike. We didn't want to be in Barnes & Noble. We didn't want to be in, obviously, Starbucks or things like that. Not that they even carry magazines. Finally, we found one or two or three national distributors who are actually conservative about how they send those magazines out, who have environmental practices of their own, and who are well known for carrying titles like Dwell, Yoga Journal, titles that care, to some extent at least, about environmentalism. And suddenly, you know, in the past 6 months, we're now available in about a third of Whole Foods, you know, all the pharmacas, a lot of sort of co-ops, and it's just happening very quickly and naturally, organically, one could say.
I'm curious if this is a model that you're pioneering for others, if there are other magazines that are doing this now, if these are tracks well laid by you that someone else can pick up and follow.
I would love to say yes, but unfortunately we were defeated in every way we tried to create a responsible model. We failed for 2 years.
Yeah, sometimes a conscious business just has to create a model for themselves, and that's all they're going to be able to do, and they struggle through it, and they slog away, and they do the ethical right thing, and it's difficult to replicate, and the next business has to do it in a different way. But it's great that you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could say that would be helpful is that our distributors like One Source, Small Changes in the Northwest, Ubiquity Distributors out of New York and New Jersey, who distribute to independent bookstores all over the U.S. I mean, there are various distributors, and there's more, who actually care about how their grandchildren are going to live on the planet.
Yeah. Well, let's ask Abby. Abby, what is it like working for Elephant? Is Elephant a conscious business on the inside too?
Abby?
I want to preface his question too.
No pressure.
So many spirited, ethical businesses are a joy to work for, a joy to work with. It feels as good as it looks on the outside. It feels on the inside as good as it looks on the outside. Some are a nightmare with dictator founders. No one in this room. I've been
Abby,
in this role
you will
before.
Answer.
Dictator founders, incredible stress levels as well, and a rigidity around the work and around the ethics and around the mission. And I'm curious how all that plays itself out.
It's a good time to ask for a raise, Abby.
Well, I guess the bottom line is at the end of the day, when I go home, I feel pretty good about what I'm doing and I can feel content that I'm actually giving back. So, but I think a good way of understanding Elephant is the way we kind of operate daily. We, you know, ride our bikes to coffee shops. We're wireless. We work on our Mac laptops, supporting local coffee shops. And it's a little haphazard and a little bit stressful sometimes. For a long time, it was just Waylon and I. For probably the first 2 years or so, it was just Waylon and I kind of plugging away. And now we have like a little bit of a staff, and which helps, but is also kind of growing pains, as he was saying before. So I think,
really, I would just for myself, I'd love to encourage you to answer in the most open way. I think it would be really fun because it is, it's the delightful and always challenging practice of actually walking the talk is the staff culture.
Good intentions don't always bring good results, and that often happens in conscious businesses, and it's a great thing to explore, and the best of businesses don't always feel good, but sometimes they feel amazing. So I'm curious if you're able to get the employees of Elephant a living wage, or if it's still just slogging away, getting by on a shoestring, whatever you get by on.
No, I mean, Waylon has been from the beginning, and he treats his employees with the utmost respect. And there's, I mean, he does pay everyone very, very well. And nice. I mean, it's never been, this is a hard question to answer.
Well, I should preface it with, I was a co-founder of the food co-op, and we never were able to pay our employees what we wanted to pay them. And a lot of them were incredibly dissatisfied, although we had the highest of ideals. And Waylon, as a board member for a very short time, experienced some of that, and just the utter insanity of being in that high-spirited, ethical business.
I didn't even mind that at the co-op. I was there for just about 6 months, if that. What frustrated me there, which Dave and I could talk about more later, is I think a lot of entrepreneurs have a kind of cowboy mentality where you want to get things done.
Yeah.
And when it was just Abby and I, on some level, we were accomplishing probably 80% of what we're accomplishing now with five full-time members. Mm. I think in terms of the culture for myself, I'll answer very honestly. I feel like I am a dictator. Coming from the Buddhist tradition, dictators are actually considered the most enlightened form of government, strangely. Democracy, co-op, kind of mosh pit land is looked down upon. But by the same token, every single sentient being there's a thing called natural hierarchy in Buddhism. Again, the tradition I was brought up in, where everyone is a king or a queen in his or her own right. If they simply, as Amy Goodman in our interview, I was just watching it last night with a friend, said, if you do, it's such a cliche, but if you do what you love, you actually become a king or queen in that spot. And Elephant Independent Media, getting the word out on good people and good businesses is exactly what I love. I've never had a harder time financially or in terms of my energy level. I'm very burned out. Abby's job is to get me to actually work and sell ads, which gets harder and harder every issue because I'm just so sick of selling ads. But nothing, it's so fulfilling. And, even when we get in fights, Abby and I are pretty much on an even keel these days. We don't get in too many fights, but I definitely yell at the sort of less experienced people all the time. They drive me insane, which doesn't take much. But, I do feel like at the end of the day, we all actually like each other and actually respect each other. And end of the day is almost misleading. I would say in the middle of the argument, in the middle of the day, we like and respect each other.
Yeah, I see you all working in the coffee shops, and I feel a sense of teamwork there.
And a sense of huge frustration when you can't get a table and he sprawled out of the entire try that, man. Yeah. Yeah.
So what's been your impression of Elephant, Dave? Watching it from the outside?
Dave Rogers.
I really have to say, typically something like Waylon's doing, I would usually look at and just find 100 faults and say it's unbelievably hypocritical to publish something on trees and say that it's a conscious business. And having been in that industry for 10 years, I have to give Waylon major props for doing a fantastic job.
But why is that? What are we doing that's any better? I mean, we are putting
on... You put at least 3 pictures of me in every other issue, so that's a fantastic start.
And those pictures we place on the one recycled page.
Right. I really think from beginning to end, to make something accessible to all people that's about conscious business, conscious living is the most critical thing. If you're not a sustainable business on a financial level first, you're never going to succeed. The idea of, people, profit, planet, it's all about profit initially. You can get the other things in line and you have to build that into your model to begin with. You can't be eco-friendly and people-friendly and assume that the profits are going to come unless you're heavily backed. And to Waylon's credit, he has so far not taken a dollar from anyone else outside of a loan. Wow. So that's incredibly impressive from a...
Wow. No loan. No loan either.
Okay. Oh. Anyway. That's incredibly difficult. Having been in most publishers lose money for 2 to 6 years and 85% of all publications fail in the first 12 months. The fact that he survived is unbelievable. And he's doing it in a slick publication. I've seen probably 15 publications in this market fail.
I will survive.
So, you know, what's most impressive about Waylon is, so everyone will tease Waylon, and I'm sure most people who are hearing this hopefully will go to elephant.com or have read the publication, and we call
and
it
tease, you know, him some more.
Yeah, and we'll say, you know, we call
it the wrong website, so if they go there, I don't really care,
right,
what
whatever
they do.
I am elephant, mindfullife.com, whatever second tier domain you have,
hippielovein.com,
and we'll tease Waylon about having a lot of photos of himself in there, and I'll tell, and people will tease me and say, you're good buddies and an advisor, you know, what's with Waylon and so many photos of himself, and we call it Where's Waylon, you know.
It's not a very hard game.
And I think that he has identified himself with the brand, and it makes it so accessible, you know, a la Oprah Winfrey, Dave Letterman, Jay Leno. You are buying into Waylon. Waylon is the brand. And I think that's hugely accessible for a lot of people. You see this goofy guy riding around in used clothes, you know, all around town, living, practicing what he's preaching and making it something that it's not that hard. He's living a mindful life. You see him, you see him in the magazine, you get the picture, it's doable. Yeah. And to me, that's very impressive.
So there's so many different forms that a conscious business can take in this sense. I mean, you can have a charismatic leader who's got high ethics that just pushes a thing through and inspires people. You can have the co-op kind of model where everybody's equal or near equal, or at least we pretend we're equal and we try to slit each other's throats when no one's looking. And but nevertheless, we get a lot of input. There's tons of energy around it, and that motivates the community and moves it. How does Elephant serve as a venue for other conscious businesses? There's tons of advertisers, tons of feature businesses, organizations that you're interviewing regularly.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point. That is literally what a magazine is. A magazine is obviously something printed on paper, which as an environmental magazine, of course, we try and be responsible with that paper. But beyond that, it is a coming together of businesses who, in getting the word out through the vehicle being interesting articles, content, interviews with people who are inspiring, you know, hope to get the eyeballs and the attention of those readers. So it's a coming together of a whole bunch of mindful businesses or businesses that aren't mindful but who are hoping to get the attention of a mindful audience and therefore will get no support from that mindful audience and are just throwing their money at us, which is fine with me. You know, that's the greatest delight. That's like we always call it the icing on the cake, the once in 3 months when I get to sit down and actually interview someone who inspires me and hopefully many others to live a life that isn't completely wrapped up in self, in depression, in confusion, who actually can kind of show us the way. Because, I mean, on some level, that's what it's all about, whether you're Buddhist or Christian or hippie or Republican or whatever it is. We all want to live good lives that are good for others, that are good for the planet.
That's great. What are the most interesting businesses that you've featured in Elephant, the most interesting types of businesses?
Well, I think my number one idol is a business. And again, Dave, you should jump in here if you have other ideas, or Abby, is I would say Patagonia has been a huge idol of mine as a business, because they have spent millions and millions of dollars that they didn't have to on R&D, they research and development. They really try and walk the talk in terms of how they treat their employees, which we were touching on earlier, in terms of how they build, you know, their facilities, their many stores, how they ship the clothing, how they package the clothing. Yvon Chouinard, the founder, is an, you know, amazing guy who really just wanted to climb, wanted to make better climbing equipment, and, you know, started selling out of the back of his truck and then started just, you know, doing more and more. And they really have been an inspiration. He wrote a business book called Let My People Go Surfing, which I read the cover jacket of. And let me tell you, it was really inspiring. And then I reviewed it for the magazine, actually. Dave here is pointing at New Belgium, which is about to go public. They're very successful, formerly local, soon to be no longer just local, brewery who is really kind of rocked the last couple of years in terms of their environmental practices. They were wind powered before people knew what that was, you know, before there was even cachet in that.
Nice. And Dave and Abby, I'm curious what you've seen of these businesses and what you like and what's inspired you that Elephant's got in there.
You know, I really appreciate the fact that he's bringing to light local businesses, businesses I might not have even known were local. And particularly with the talk show, I have to say Elephant Live, which is now at Trilogy, usually once a week. Seeing just, I'd say Jason Burr from the Watershed School was something really impressive. And I think that's somebody who's not going to normally get a forum like you had on that particular evening where you're taking somebody who's saying, hey, education as we currently experience it isn't working. And this is somebody who took the biggest possible step and started a school, got the backing, recruited the kids, and is now, you know, taking kids who basically would probably not be having a fantastic experience through public education and, you know, making a massive change. He's making a paradigm shift. He is changing the way people are being educated. And Wayland is, you know, bringing him to everyone's, you know, the front of their attention, which is, that's fantastic.
That's a fantastic point. I feel like I went down the wrong path there, which is a tendency in business. You say, who are the most inspiring people? And I immediately think of the biggest companies. But actually, you know, one of the proudest things we do, I would think, is, you know, especially through that talk show, which we call Elevision or Elephant Live, it's sort of a video talk show at this point. We want to take it national because Jon Stewart has had a few good years and he needs some competition. But seriously, we want to make kind of organic, mindful living actually hip and accessible without hopefully dumbing it down. But one of the best things we do is, if we do anything well, is bring in people who aren't marketing savvy, who aren't PR savvy, who don't know how to get themselves out there. Like EcoCycle, this huge, you know, amazing company that's been around for decades. I mean, it was one of the first in the world of its kind, recycling in its community, but really, you know, maybe doesn't put too much attention because they actually care about what they're doing instead of being recognized for that.
Right.
Yeah. In being recognized or spreading the word. So yeah, if we can bring all kinds of different little businesses and sort of local heroes, best kept secrets to light, I mean, that's a fantastic thing we can do.
You've done a great job of making green cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of companies have definitely done a great job of that. Yeah. Like Treehugger, until it sold out to Discovery, did a great job of that. Discovery itself is a pretty damn good TV, whatever the hell it's called.
Something more that Elephant seems to do other than just highlighting those businesses is you're pulling together a community of people that have all been exposed to the same material, that know the same things about these businesses, that know one another, that can identify one another. It's the same thing the Boulder Co-op Market tried to do. It's the same thing that a lot of businesses out here are doing. You create a community, and by creating that community, you strengthen the Boulder downtown area, though you strengthen the walking, biking lifestyle of that downtown area, and you make people feel good about it.
Touching on that point you just raised, making green cool, it's a really kind of troubling and inspiring phrase, because we actually did work hard at that for years before it was cool. Now it's cool. And, you know, there's actually suddenly 8 other publications even locally doing it. That's wonderful. And we welcome that. However, walking the talk is really what it's about. And green is simply a manifestation in an outward manifestation of inner values. Inner values, whether you're Jewish or Christian or Hindu or atheist, agnostic, whatever they are, you study integral philosophy, whatever it is, all we're talking about is living a good life that's good for other people and good for the world. And what is green? Green is irrelevant to that. If you're living a life that is genuine and authentic, you will naturally realize that driving in SUV, you know, 5 blocks from your house, or say 20 minutes from your house, even worse, twice a day, is not only unnecessary, it's unsustainable. And that's really what green is. It's taking responsibility for your actions. And that follows through to how we treat our boyfriends or girlfriends or husbands or wives, you know, every action. And that's why I think, coming back to what Dave was saying, which on some level is flattering, about my own role in Elephant as being a kind of character or caricature, is it's really challenging. You know, I'm far, far from perfect. And that's an important thing to put out there. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to live a mindful life. And that's what we all need to do, you know, not to emulate me, but to just simply do what we can and do it now.
Nice.
Absolutely. And the same thing holds for conscious businesses in general, that they're not perfect, but at least they're holding themselves up to their own values and their own standards.
Well, thank you all for putting the effort out there. It's been great having you on the show.
Well, thank you, Theo. And thank you, Duff.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for knowing what you're doing.
Yeah. Great having you here.
Awesome.
High five.
For commentary and information on my conscious coaching, life, and leadership services, check out ReframeAmerica.com.